Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. Jackie Cation, Laurie Kilmartin. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show. It's the Jackie and Laurie Show. The Jackie and Laurie Show.
So are we going to use that first 5 minutes? What are we? What?
That is not 5 minutes. That was a minute 45.
It felt like 45 minutes of watching Jackie chew.
Our lost
you didn't have to hear me chew. You got to hear me.
Your face would dive off camera and I could hear you chewing. And then you'd come up and try to pretend like you were engaged in the conversation. That's exactly what happened.
Well, then I'm glad that it's been lost to the archives. We could put that minute 45 on Patreon. Ladies and gentlemen.
So we can lose Patreon subscribers?
Exactly. We will lose Patreon followers.
En masse. They're outraged.
It's an outrage.
Yeah.
So, all right. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Saturday morning. 2 days before it all. Do you have a set tonight? I do not.
I have a set tonight, and I have another set that I booked in June, and during the transition from writing spots on my refrigerator to writing them back on my iCal, I forgot to write that one down. So now I'm trying to move things and see, make sure that both can happen. So that's how that's going.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I would like a set tonight or tomorrow. So if you can't do one of them, let me know.
You know what? That is a good option. And if I might do that.
All right.
Okay.
Just so you know, I don't, because right now I am, I am in a bit of editing hell. And
yes, tell what you can.
I tell what I can. I'm trying to, you know, so I recorded the thing 2 weeks ago and the filming and the album were going to be one project, right? They were going to be synced and then the album was going to come out of, was going to be the same set.
Right.
And it very well still could be. All I know is that the video editing, there had been problems and there had been miscommunication. And I couldn't face it yesterday.
Right.
So I, because I figured if I called the editor, I was either going to yell at him or cry.
Right.
Guess what? Neither of those is going to perform the needed, you know, right. I didn't need him to get defensive or guilty.
Right.
He can be mad.
Yeah.
And so I called the guy who directed and produced it. And I was like, you can just talk to him. Tell him that this is not what I wanted. I don't know how to say that. Like a sane, like a man, right?
A man would get angry.
And yeah. he would get angry.
Right.
If I called him up and started yelling at him, I'm not saying that he would have. He probably wouldn't have called me a cunt to my face, but
only I do that, Jackie.
But all I know is I didn't want the drama,
right,
of me having to be dramatic.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, I thought I would obsess about it afterwards and wonder if I had handled it correctly. So I decided not to handle it. I decided to call the guy.
Good. I think that's smart.
Yeah, it felt super mature. And I also parted the two things. The album is just going to be the album. I told those guys to work on the files.
Mm-hmm.
And the video is going to be the video. And hopefully the album can come out quicker because of it. And
yeah. It's really hard to advocate for yourself. Editing video or audio, because you're also criticizing yourself the entire time, and it's almost impossible to step aside and go, okay, here's this performer and we need XYZ here.
Yep.
That's why I furthering my theory that Bo Burnham is a complete psychopath, because he actually enjoys that. Okay.
Well, so what did I didn't I have not watched anything. I've seen Black Widow two more times. Does that count? Okay.
Yeah, that's good. but I mean, it's really difficult. And when I did my special, and you ended up introducing me to Ryan, who took over the editing and redid it. The first person that edited it was a friend of my then boyfriend's, had never done comedy before. And stand-up comedy editing is an art form. And if someone is good at it, they should only be doing that because it's so fucking hard to do. Right.
Yeah.
And, you know, in terms of like just picking the right shots for the right joke and the punchline. And I mean, I remember looking at this one edit early on and it's like, wait, the punchline shot is the side of my head from almost behind. How does that even make sense? You need to be on my face on that and stuff where I didn't even know I had to tell somebody that. And, I didn't know I had to communicate those things, you know?
Right. Right.
Maybe those of us who have had to edit a special should make a list of things that, the newer comics or somebody can go, oh, I need to make sure that we're on the same page with this stuff. You don't edit out a tag that you don't think worked, you know? Or whatever it is. Right. Or that you don't like or something, you know, like give me that. And I'll tell you, this is what I'm doing with the album, or which I'm sure everyone does, is like, let's lose that joke, you know, whatever. But it's really difficult to have to do that yourself because you're just the comic and that's the hardest part. And then you have to like be authoritative and say, I don't like this version of it. And, you know, cause it's they can go, well, that's, you know, that's you, that's what you gave me. Well, yeah, no, that's why there's seven shows, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. And it's, I don't know. I have yet to see a rough cut.
Okay.
And it's been a little while and it's, I don't know. I know that, yeah, like the video suggestions that I'm going to get is try not to show my ass. How about that?
What do you mean?
Just literally, I don't have any. I guess you're right about having a list of. Yeah. You're right about having a list of sort of camera things where you're like, because the idea of a rough cut,
mm-hmm.
whether you're doing an album or a video special, the rough cut is just to see the flow of the jokes and basic shots, you know, like if the flow of the jokes and it's all that one center camera, that's not great. But, and so you can do whatever video thing you want to do with it, but the rough cut should not be scalpel stuff, you know? It isn't, you can, the cuts can even be smash cuts video wise, but audio wise, I need to see the flow. That's the whole point and purpose of a rough cut.
Yeah.
Is to see if the Thursday joke flows into the Saturday first show joke, because I like the setup better than that one and the way I framed it and the way I said it. And last night I did a Zoom show. And as I was telling this one joke, I was like, oh, that's the exact perfect version of that joke.
Of course. Of course. I mean,
and there's nothing to be done.
No.
And so, you know, it's just, if you like the album, boy, will you like the version of the joke you hear when you come out.
Yeah. See it live.
You know, see it live and see it, you know, and you would think, I mean, there's the part of you that beats yourself up is just like, well, I've been doing this joke for a year, you know, rah, 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 rah. And you're like, well, stop listening to that voice. And, but here's I talked to Ryan because Ryan directed and produced it.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had him call the editor and just talk to the guy because he knows him. He can talk to him reasonably and just go, dude, whatever you're doing, you're driving her nuts. And I'm sure because I know that he's a good editor. Ryan mm-hmm. wouldn't have picked him if he wasn't a good editor. He's a good cameraman. He shot Horcrux, the guy that's editing. And so, I mean, I was like, well, I would, so, you know, several people were like, why don't you just look at the version, you know, when he finally does get you the version, which will be tomorrow night. Take a look at that version and see if it, if I was like, hey, maybe he turned it into Lawrence of Arabia. We don't know. We don't know. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's the greatest movie ever made. Mm-hmm. And he's made me look like, you know, Nikki Glaser. I want to be 6 feet tall, blonde, and weigh 12 pounds. That'd be great. And also be super funny. That'd be an ideal world.
Yeah.
But all you can do with stand up is just keep going. I mean, that's the lesson of 100 years. But I think you're right. You know, having sort of a list, like on my corporate contracts, there's a list of things that I need.
Yeah.
When there's video, that's not a bad idea. I'm going to need you. Establishing shot can be whatever it wants to some extent, but when I'm telling the punchline, my face has to be facing the camera.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I remember feeling like, oh, I suck. Like I didn't know I didn't know what was wrong with it. I didn't even have the ability to go, oh, I need the shot needs to be on my face. Like yeah. I was like, this isn't funny. I don't get it. What happened? What happened?
Right. What happened?
Right. And I'm not funny. And what was I thinking? And I just wanted to stop it. Like, I didn't want to even do anything with it. You know, I just wanted to make it go away. And so it's very hard to separate yourself from it. There's the very tiny membrane between you and total emotional collapse. And you mm-hmm. need that person to step in and go, oh, here's what's wrong. Here's what's wrong. It's not you. It's not the jokes. It's that, we're landing on an audience member on a punchline. That's the problem.
Right. Right.
And then they fix it. You go, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Right. But if you don't even know what it is, because if you're a comic, half the time you're so close to just thinking you're garbage anyway, that it's impossible for you to just be logical, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And the thing is I spent four or five hours already listening to those two sets and annotating and writing down time code that I don't look forward to watching this thing.
Right.
And then going back to my annotated audio and seeing what he changed or if he changed.
Right.
Because if it's another 5 hours of work, I don't want to do it.
Right.
But if there's a way, I thought it was a 55 minute set. The one cut that I've just looked at the time code, he's got 46 minutes. And I was like, what happened to the 10 minutes?
Wow.
So I don't know if he cut something or if I cut something. Very possible. It was me.
Was there the space between chunks was cut?
I haven't watched it. I haven't been able to
see. And then you go, well, maybe I should watch some other specials because I've never paid attention to like
the breathing room.
Yeah. I mean, do you need it when you're on it, watching it on TV, or do you not need it? You know, like when you're in a live setting, obviously you give it what you feel it needs, but do you need that when you're putting it out for someone to watch in their home? Maybe you don't. I don't know.
I think you do.
Yeah.
I think you always do. You always need the breathing room of the laughs, you know?
If he's taken out 15 seconds, you know, from the end of every chunk, that would maybe add up to a couple minutes, you know, I don't know. I'm just speculating.
Right. Well, the thing is we can speculate or I could just fucking watch it.
No, let's speculate for years. That's how I do it. The other thing, like I paid Lisa Curry to listen to all of them and make notes on all of them. And then I couldn't read the notes I'm mentally, there's a huge block, right? I mean, it wasn't because of her handwriting. I was just like,
No, I'm sure she typed them out for you. I think we know this is your fault.
Yeah. But is there someone and maybe not Andy, I don't know, but someone who has a PhD in Jackie Cation that can go.
No, and I don't want anyone who thinks that they're a PhD in Jackie Cation to volunteer. Let me just say that out loud. People who are listening to this podcast, I will listen to it. I will make the judgments. Okay. I will be in charge of my own destiny. Mm-hmm. I will diminish and go into the West. I am Galadriel. it'll be fine. But it will take a second. And yeah, I mean, I talked to Ryan today and I said, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put aside some time Monday morning and I'm going to deal with it. And,
yeah,
until then I was happy that I called 800 and I was just like, you guys make an album. As soon as I separated the two projects and I knew that the album could continue without me.
Yeah.
You know, it might have its own problems. And he said it would take a week for him to give me a rough draft of that because he is now on to doing like two more projects, I think. But I was like, that's fine. You know, keep me in the loop. I'm trying very hard to exercise patience. This is a beautiful experience where I get to learn how to exercise patience.
I'm extremely patient. When I get an email from 800 Pound Gorilla, I patiently wait a month before I respond to it. So,
well, I think that they're the ones that are experiencing patience right now.
Well, I mean, I finished. It took 7 rounds for us to go through it, and that took many months.
Yeah.
And all because it took me forever to listen and to make notes, right? Because I would dive under furniture when I heard something I didn't like. And it was just really difficult. So then I gave it off to Bruce and Chelsea Mitchell, who works for Bruce, and they both listened to it. And then Bruce said, it's great. Never listen to it again. And I was like, okay, fine. I'm happy with that. And yeah, I have also come up with better ways to tell two chunks that are in there,
mm-hmm.
you know, because the other ones I'm like, I never want to tell these again. Right. And there's two that I'm still going to keep doing in live sets because I like them and they're fun. It's not fun. It doesn't feel good. I don't know how people
it's
do this.
It's a different part of the creative experience that I don't think that I've embraced.
People do this once a year. How is that possible?
They're not doing it once a year. Someone else is doing it for them once a year.
Right.
They're grinding it out once a year. Right. And, you know, who doesn't want a team? I used to do that joke.
I know.
Doing it, having a team.
Yeah.
It was fascinating going to lunch with you and your young man. And he was right behind us.
That was so funny. Yeah. So he
outdoor had lunch, you and I.
Yeah. And I brought my son.
And your son. And then you kept saying, is that Bruce?
I thought it, I'm like, that looks like him, but it can't be. But it was.
And then it was. Down.
Yeah.
And then he finally turned around and looked at us because we were talking about comedy, and then his ears went up. And I was like, "Well, just sit with us, Bruce."
Yeah.
And then sadly, we had to both bolt as he scarfed down his meal.
Well, yeah, we had an appointment to get a TSA pre known traveler number for my son. So
did it happen? Did it all work out?
Yeah, it all worked out. This week has been like, it seems just more people that I like are revealing themselves to be, if not anti-vax, at least, we hesitant in a way I absolutely don't understand. And it's really making me sad and wishing I am working on a bit about how I wish I didn't know people off their social media just by how I encounter them in person because they're so nice, you know?
Yeah.
But it is a true thing where I'm just like,
type a name.
Well, I mean, you know.
I have to say that some woman said to me this morning, she was like, I don't want to wear the mask anymore. Oh, right. Okay. Yeah, her. Mm-hmm. Them. I got introduced as a they, them last night. It was kind of fun. So this morning at this event I was at, who was saying how much he hates the mask, but going to wear it anyway. And I said, yes, because you're an adult.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, of course you don't mind the mask.
My kid doesn't care about the mask. He wears it. He has no problem with it. I mean, they're
all
used
the children
to it.
I know.
They're used to it.
They're used to it. They're not even taking it off at recess, is what I heard from friends of mine who teach fifth grade in Denver.
Yeah.
Because they get what they call a mask break,
mm-hmm.
which is recess, and they wear their masks outside at recess.
Mm.
And my friend was telling me that.
Yeah, I would be terrified if my kid was unvaccinated right now. I'm just so grateful that
it's 12 and above. Yeah.
Oh my God. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So then yesterday, Joe Rogan said something like dumb about vaccines, and so I just wrote it kind of a joke about it. But like, you know, like I agree with them, and then a joke punchline.
Yeah.
And the response from people that didn't get it was, fascinating and mostly male.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, there's when you look back on it, because Minnesota did this thing a couple of days ago where they were like, we'll give you $100. Give you $100 if you're unvaccinated and you get vaccinated. Mm-hmm. 1,100 people signed up in the first day.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
You know,
guess what that cost? 11 grand. Let's do it.
Yeah, sure.
Not 11 grand, but whatever 11 times 1100 times 100 is.
Yeah, 1100s.
Yeah. And I know that they did it. They did it for smallpox. I don't know if they did it for polio, but I know they did it for smallpox.
Oh, they did.
They paid people.
Sure, they paid people.
They were like, "Hey, idiots, here's $12.
Yeah, here's a cow. Go get a vaccine.
Go get a vaccine so you're not a burden on society.
It's just going to make everything come back faster.
Mm-hmm.
And the proof is in the fact that those of us that are vaccinated, we're not showing up on hospitals. And I don't understand the logic of being, oh, I don't know about this. And when someone's brain is going there, I'm like, how can I ever have a conversation with you again? I don't get it.
Right. You're not that bright. You're a reactionary, mm-hmm. and you're not a grown-up. Those are three things I'm going to need from friends, people that I choose to hang out with. My right. work friends, people that I run into, and then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, it's that guy. This mm-hmm. guy, by the way, is someone that I worked with about a week ago, and he seemed super nice, but his material made me go, ew.
Mm. Oh, I know. Yes, I agree. But it's funny within the wheelhouse that it's in.
Well, the thing is as he's saying it, you're like, I think he's being ironically misogynistic, but whatever it is.
Pedophilic?
Yes. And all of the things. And you're just like, I still don't like it.
I don't like it. And I was laughing the last time I saw him. I'm like, this isn't a good feeling.
It didn't feel, I was kind of, I laughed a little bit, and then I got up right after him. I have no idea if he heard me, but I said, I have some consent problems with most of his material, which of course it's none of my business. I shouldn't have said anything,
right.
But I was like, it made me so uncomfortable. It came with me onto the stage,
so
which it rarely ever does. Right.
Right. Right. Right. Well, I had a set with this guy very recently, and you know, he's a complete asshole online.
Yeah.
And but you know, in person, I like him. Yeah. You know, he's a nice guy in person. Gave him a hug.
Oh my God.
It's so weird now that there are
a lot more tolerant
versions of people.
You're just nicer in person. On this show, you're horrible. But in person,
and the opposite.
You're the opposite.
But imagine some people think I must be this fucking nasty liberal, right, in person. But I don't mention politics on stage hardly at all, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's not, you know, but on Twitter, I like to get mean. You know, I like to make fun of anti-vaxxers who die of COVID.
Who died of COVID?
I love
they
it.
They can't feel like, it, by the way. They can't feel the fun making. Yeah.
No, it's just for me and the people who enjoy it, right? It's not a nice thing to do at all. These people have families. Right? It's not nice, but I love it.
Yep. You're on board. Okay. So I did a Zoom show on Thursday, and there was a Zoom bomber who somebody tried to heckle Cynthia Levin. Guess what happened? It doesn't work. It doesn't. Cynthia Levin will eat you for breakfast and then pick her teeth with a femur. She will fucking own you from start to finish.
Mm-hmm.
And then he just started yelling horrible things until he was kicked out.
Oh,
he was swearing and saying the N-word, and
oh my god,
yeah, he wanted to be a Zoom bomber.
Oh,
and it didn't work. So he just had a temper tantrum, and then he was kicked out.
So, sounds like that took longer than it should have.
Oh, it did. It took slightly too long. The woman running the show, super nice, but had set up the Zoom. You know how you have to set up the Zoom so you can create co-hosts?
Yeah.
When you set up the meeting, she had not done that. So she had to do all the tech stuff herself or just make someone else the host.
Right. I've already forgotten all things Zoom. Quite I never want to remember them again.
And then I did Friday night for Nowhere Club, and it was super fun.
Was it?
Yeah. Yeah. It was great. It was Jen Saunderson hosting.
Mm-hmm. Great.
And all of her new baby material is outstanding.
I love it.
Oh, fucking funny. And then Carmen Morales has a bunch of new material she featured.
Cool.
And then I did a long set, and I did my five new premises. And then I interwove a bunch of old stuff, and then I closed on my closer. So
sounds good to me.
Yeah.
I think if you look at the way... like, I feel like airline passengers are harbingers of our audiences, you know, like if they're starting to freak out a lot, we comics are going to start to have in the next couple months, it's going to trickle down to us where we're going to have audience members that need to be duct taped to their seats until their lift comes. Like people are just acting worse and worse. And you know, obviously this pandemic's making everyone's
sick of wearing a mask.
Yeah.
It's so sad, too bad. You know?
You know, it'll
be fine.
We had so much that one month that California was back, like it was May 15th, maybe to, you know, mid-June, was so fun. You know, I went to Flappers, no one had masks on, we're all hanging out, we're having a good time. It was like, this is great. And then, you know, the Delta variant was in India, and it was in the UK, and there was like, oh, trickles of it coming over here. And then
100,000 people have now COVID again. Did you see that?
No, I don't.
I saw a thing today that said 100,000 people currently have COVID again.
Is that worse than I haven't been?
I don't know. But what it sounds bad, sounds terrible. I'm against it. Whatever it is, it sounds like a big number.
I know.
And I'm not in favor of it. But I am still going to Arizona, which is ground zero of big shit.
That's the other thing. We don't make any sense. You know, we're very like, everyone should clamp down. Meanwhile, I've got stuff booked in Texas. I pray that here's what I pray. My show in Austin is until Thanksgiving. So I've been forced to pray that the people that are going to die of COVID hurry up and do it by October. so that the Delta variant goes away. Please, if you're going to do it, get it done. Don't hurt my gig.
Right. I'm trying to get, I'm trying to work on the new material, you guys. If you could just either, are there no workhouses? Are there no shotgun shells? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. It reminds me of when I went out that last weekend of April, and it was my first weekend out. I was opening for Brian Regan in Arkansas.
Oh my God, you're so lucky it was then and not 2 months later. Arkansas is completely overrun right now.
Sure. And it might be because there were 141 people in a room that seats 180. No one was wearing masks except for the staff. And I don't know who was vaccinated and who wasn't in March, April. Right. Wait, right. No, it would have been April. So,
they had the opportunity,
but I will say that, but it reminds me of that, where I had to make a decision, to just do the show and not be responsible for their health.
Right.
Because in the 11th hour, these are all adults, you know? And I'm hoping that if you can't get the vaccination because you're somehow you're allergic to vaccines or some other health reason, you're taking care of yourself. Right. And I assume that children are not going to come to my show that are unvaccinated. And so those are the only and I'm not going to. And then everybody else is an adult. And they want to be an adult, right? They want to make their own decisions and say, so I can't, it's like somebody saying, well, how can you work somewhere where bad people work? It's the same thing where I'm just like, I have to, and this, I don't know, I'm getting all tangled up in my head, but no, I mean, it's,
I have heard that argument, but I don't feel like it's, I mean, this it's self-serving because I want to work everywhere, but I also don't feel like it's the job of good comedians to pull themselves out of situations where there's a ton of bad comedians. I mean, if anything, more good comedy. Okay.
Yeah. You
know, not less.
Yeah. Changing from within the system is how I was raised. Yeah. I wasn't raised to go outside of the system and create a new system parallel to it, which is what some people have done.
Right. It's also like, you know, if you and I have we have an audience, right? Mm-hmm. And so if say we're working at a club that, you know, works more of a right wing kind of crowd, maybe some of them will trickle into our shows, but also new people will come and it's like, that's income as well. Well, let's book more like her too. I mean, if you're even thinking comedy is going to be changing people's person, you know, how they look in the world, maybe it's just going to reinforce, you know, maybe the people that like us are going to be who they are anyway. And our comedy matches their personalities. It's not that we're changing.
Well, and I think that our fans are easier for staff to work with than the fans of sort of the dude bro-y haircuts of the world.
Because that
might be something. It's just they might tip better, they might be less ass slappy. I know that my fans not big fans of the ass slap of the staff.
I'm a fan of the ass slap, so if my fans should just limit it to me, that would be that's good.
Let's take a break. Let's really take a break.
Video games.
Video games.
Video games. You like them?
Maybe you wish you had more time for them.
Maybe you want to know the best ones to play.
Maybe you want to know what happens to Mario when he dies.
In that case, you should check out Triple Click. It's a podcast about video games.
A podcast about video games? But I don't have time for that.
Sure you do. Once a week, kick back as three video game experts give you everything from critical takes on the hottest new releases,
to scoops, interviews, and explanations about how video games work,
to fascinating and sometimes weird stories about the games we love.
Triple Click is hosted by me, Kirk Hamilton.
Me, Jason Schreier.
And me, Maddie Myers.
You can find Triple Click wherever you get your podcasts and listen at MaximumFun.org.
Bye.
And let's also do the comic of the week.
Oh yeah, this, I swear, I thought we did this lady like.
Oh, real quick, do we want to do the ads first?
You want to do the ads first?
Yeah. Oh, you guys have to wait. I hope you can handle it.
you can't handle the truth.
Okay.
So
I'll do function. Okay.
Okay.
And I'll. All right, guys. You know, this, I love this, company. Function and Beauty is the world leader in customizable beauty, offering customized formulations for your hair's needs. You take a quick but thorough quiz, tell them a little bit about your hair type, right? Mine is straight, and it's not coily, but the offers are coily, wavy, curly, and straight, you know? And your hair goals. I want to keep my hair. That's my only goal, right? So you can lengthen, volumize, oil control, add color, you have fragrance preferences. Function of Beauty is also just launched a best of its class subscriber program, Function with Benefits. Wow, that sounds very erotic, and I'm going to look into it. Subscribers get discounts on every order and other great perks. So turn your good hair days into good hair life. Go to functionofbeauty.com/JackieLori. Take your quiz. Get 20% off your first order. That's functionofbeauty.com/JackieLori. Let them know you heard it out from our show. Get 20% off your order. I shampoo with my purple shampoo at the pool every single day. There's lather is flying off of my head. It's getting on other swimmers to their annoyance. You know what? But I'm like, you should be lucky you're this clean. You're fucking filthy. Okay.
The last batch that I got that color protection thing to protect because I got my hair dyed.
Yeah. Your hair looks great right now.
Right, right. And so I got it. And then I got the color protection version of Function of Beauty. But if you go to functionofbeauty.com/JackieLori, you can get 20% off your first order. So go big.
Yep.
And here's another one. Here's another great company that is supporting the Jackie and Lori show. Great Green Chef, which is the number one meal kit for eating well. And what you love about it is that they make cooking easy because they send you a kit, a meal kit, and they set dinner options that work for your lifestyle, not the other way around. I don't know what that means. What does that mean? That would be where your dinner options that make your lifestyle work for you. That is backwards. That's weird. So, but they're easy to follow directions. That's the great thing about it. It's it's literally because I am often scared to cook with fish. I like to have easy to follow directions. Plenty of options to choose from each week, by the way, too. And you can select organic ingredients. Everything comes pre-measured and pretty ecologically packaged too, which I love in tiny baggies. Yep. And they're pre-measured, perfectly proportioned or portioned. Perfectly ingredients come pre-measured, perfectly
English
portioned.
Is second language, Jackie.
And mostly prepped so you can spend less time stressing and more time enjoying delicious home-cooked meals. Go to greenchef.com/JackieLori100 and use code JackieLori100 and get this. You get $100 off, including free shipping. That's greenchef.com/JackieLori100. And that's what you ought to do. That's what you ought to do right there.
Yeah.
Delicious.
I don't know how to do spices. Like I just throw salt on everything. And I love that they're like, no, this is all the paprika you need. You don't need to add anymore or make something orange. Like you just want this amount. And then I take the little baggies. I recycle all my plastic baggies. So I keep them in a thing and I take them to Target. Oh, and they have like a big receptacle in the store and you can recycle your stuff there. So to me, it's you can get rid of almost everything that they send you. You either eat it or you recycle it. It's no big deal.
And I like, and what you said about the spices is good because it's like, here's Thai food. These are the spices that they often use. And it's a nice introduction to cooking different kinds of food, which is great.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, it's greenchef.com/JackieLori100. Get on it. In other news, I'm going... Wait, we're going to do Comic of the Week.
Yeah, let's do Comic of the Week. It's someone we thought we did a long time ago. But she's so funny. Her name is Jessica Michelle Singleton. She is a Grammy nominated. She does musical comedy. All right. and regular stand up, but she's also she puts on a big show. Mm-hmm. She's very, very funny. She's Jessica. Nice, and she's Grammy nominated. And now, I mean, for a long time she was Comic of the Week nominated, and now she actually won. So
finally, the Jackie and Lori bump, Jessica JMS. Yes. What's her Twitter handle?
It's at JMS Comedy.
It's at JMS Comedy.
JMS Comedy.
That makes sense.
My favorite comedians of all time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, good. So we did that. Where are we at? What do you think?
39. Moving.
That's not enough.
Jackie, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. The checks are being dropped.
The podcast is half empty, guys.
And we just push through till we get the rap sign from the manager that all the checks have been paid.
Yeah. I did three other people's podcasts this week.
No.
It was all right. It was nice conversation, but I forgot to do a Dork Forest, and then I had to scramble and do a Dork Forest yesterday. So it was good. This week, the Dork Forest is about expansion sets on board games. And so we were talking about Gloomhaven. Next week, though, I think is it the Stevie Wonder one? Here's the thing about Stevie Wonder. Shockingly, I don't know anything about Stevie Wonder. Mm-hmm. And that was in Grey Havens. That was the other one. Next week, I think, is Grey Havens, which shockingly.
An apartment complex?
It's essentially one of the Kennedys that was a hoarder. And
Grey Gardens. Grey Havens. Yes,
there we go.
You know what the Grey Havens is? Lord of the Rings. I'm going to diminish and go into the West. Grey Gardens. That's it. Grey Gardens. I didn't know anything about it. It's just some Kennedy hoarder talk.
She's related to the Bouviers, I believe, not the Kennedys, right?
That's so right. Jackie, you are correct.
Kennedy. Yeah.
Yes.
Sorry, Mike Kennedy. You know, I haven't really paid attention to him too much lately, but I do.
I guess that there's a documentary about Grey Gardens, and then there's a follow-up documentary with found footage about Grey Gardens, and then there's a movie they made with Jessica Lange about Grey Gardens.
But you decided not enough opportunity to learn about Grey Gardens. I'm going to Dork Forest it.
Well, I don't know anything. I mean, it's the guest who picks what to dork out about.
Sure.
So Kate McGaffney, she was like, I love Grey Gardens. And I was like, you do it. Actually, I think Kate McGaffney was Stevie Wonder. It's all a blur.
Oh, my God.
I am in my own head. Everybody's great.
I love
I'm gonna
that. Did you
go away?
You watched Cheers, right?
The TV show Cheers. I have seen the TV show Cheers. Yes.
Wait, I'm thinking of Taxi. Sorry. Ooh. The scene where Reverend Jim listens to
Taxi.
His father dies, right? And they've had a contentious relationship because Reverend Jim is kind of crazy, right?
Good episode.
And he takes out a boombox, and his dad left him a cassette tape. I think this is how it goes. He puts it in, he plays it, and the song is "You Are the Sunshine of My Life" by Stevie Wonder. And the whole, like, you sit and watch him listen to the whole thing and take it in that these are his father's last words to him. It's incredible if you ever have a chance to watch it. I mean, it's
awesome. Sounds like classic sitcom. No. It's a very powerful sitcom moment.
Yeah. And he's such a great actor, you know. You just hang out there with him, you know?
Yeah.
Really, really great.
That's cool.
Mm-hmm. You're almost prone right now. You're almost.
I know. I've decided to be prone. Well, I'm prone to wanting this. So I'm flying to Phoenix.
When?
On Friday.
Right.
I am home for a week, and then I'm doing DNA's Santa Cruz Festival next Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday coming home. Monday going to Vegas. Friday going to Albany, Thursday or Friday going to Albany, New York.
Oh, this is like the old hell travel days.
Uh-huh. And hoping, I don't know, hoping it's all very fun. I think it'll be fun just because it'll be stand up. But I hope that it's so weird now with the mask mandate and the spiking And me not knowing, like when I did 45 minutes last night,
yeah,
I did 50 minutes last night at the Nowhere Comedy Club. And, I didn't know where I was because I was just meandering around the big set list and also trying to do the new stuff, work on the brand new stuff. And, so I don't know what that's going to feel like, though. I am thinking about, putting together some clips to send to the Fallon people.
Good.
Cause I don't know. Yep. People we know are getting sets. Mm-hmm. Yep. Pete Lee just did one.
Colbert also, you know?
Yeah. They do theirs
like in a pack. So it's a little, I think it's a little tougher to, you know, to get it. Because they'll tape one night, they'll tape like 10 comics in one night. So I think it's a little tougher to nail that down. Whereas the Tonight Show's like, you're going to be on this Wednesday show. So you're performing on Wednesday. You know what I mean? It's a little easier to book comics when you're doing them the same day of the show, I think.
Right. Do you know, is Jessica still doing Colbert?
I think so.
All right.
As far as I know. I was at the West Side last night, and
oh nice,
it was fun. Chris Gorbos opens the show, at least the second show. I didn't see the opening of the first one, where he just was like, they're doing the thing where the comics have to send in a picture of their vaccination card and the audience has to be vaccinated.
Nice.
He just told the crowd that, hey, you know, please keep your masks on if you're not drinking. We just want to stay open. It's like, yeah, we're just all trying to stay open and stay alive and keep, you know, not have outbreaks and stuff, right?
Yeah,
so,
yeah.
I don't know. It just, I thought that was kind of sweet. And it wasn't, it like how it's being portrayed online is this, oh, mandatory. And people using the word segregation. What? No, that's a, you know, look, it maybe you think that's the right word, but go to thesaurus.com and pick another one because that's reserved for another time, right? And another.
Yeah, it's a different thing. It's a different thing that you think is happening.
So, you know, and the audience, you, the restaurant goer, can help. Don't make these people yell at you. You know, someone's a hostess, they don't want to fucking yell at you. You know, that's not their job. You know, comedians, I like to do that. Like, I'm happy to do that. Right. But not even all comedians like to be engaged with the audience, you know? So, but I would say most of the people that work in support staff don't want to do that. So you're not a robot because you're following these orders. We're trying to help shit stay open and get back to our full lives.
And if you force people to make them yell at you, you are a child.
Yeah.
So
you're the guy that was duct taped on Frontier Airlines. Your version of that guy. You know?
I did not. Let's take a second break and then tell me about a guy that was duct taped.
What? That's you didn't see land. This?
No.
Hi, I'm Annabelle Gurwitch.
And I'm Laura House.
And we're the hosts of Tiny Victories.
My tiny victory is that I sewed that button back on the day after it broke.
We talk about that little thing that you did that's a big deal to you, but nobody else cares.
Did you get that Guggenheim Genius Award?
We don't want to hear from you.
We want little bitty tiny victories.
My tiny victory is a tattoo that I added onto this past weekend.
Let's talk about it.
My victory is that I'm 1 year cancer free. But my tiny victory is that I took all of the cushions off the couch, pounded them out, put them back, and it looks so great.
So if you're like us and you want to celebrate the tiny achievements of ordinary people, listen to Tiny Victories.
It's on every Monday on Maximum Fun.
Okay.
Oh,
so there's
my God.
A guy duct taped. By who? By the steward attendant. People? Yeah.
He was yelling and then he took a punch, I think, drunk, right? And probably high and everything else. And an American. How about that? And they ended up duct taping him to the seat.
Did they charge extra for that? Because that was Frontier, right? Come on, everybody, come on.
You still got it. I don't know why they say you don't got it. You still got it. Stop saying that, everybody.
That's so funny.
So, yeah, I mean, it's. I'll send you the... If you
send
just
link.
If you look up Frontier Airlines, it'll be the only thing that comes up.
And right. It'll be the first nine choices. I can click video, it'll be number one.
You have to suffer through 20 seconds of him yelling, and then the very satisfying end, which is him being...
You get to hear the... of them ripping off the duct tape.
And the fellow passengers laughing loudly, which is also satisfying. And then I tweeted a screenshot, but it was like, there was a picture of him, and then there's like, he's in the foreground, and then there's just cell phones recording him from like 15 angles. And it was like, if you ever see this, just shut the fuck up. I don't care what you're saying. Stop talking. Just don't let this happen. Oh my God. It's great.
Oh my God. That's awesome.
That's what I mean. Like those people that's going to trickle into our audiences pretty soon. I'm pretty sure.
Well, I don't know what's going to happen as we just clip along. I was thinking, cause I got a lot of guff, right. About this, right. I'm still getting tagged and stuff. I'm going to have to put this mic down and type a thing.
Yeah, but this is so exciting, guys. I'll narrate. Jackie is typing is something that you can't see, and we're going to talk about, which I don't think is at all infuriating.
No.
Oh, right.
So I'm still getting guff about that, and it's being compared to like the people that served the Nazis.
What?
In the 30s, and I was like,
are people DMing you or something?
It's exactly the same. I think we can all agree.
It's like, I don't know. I mean, the thing is swing Heil, you guys. You gotta, I don't know if you ever saw Swing Time.
Swing Kids.
It was terrible. It's a terrible movie, but it ends with them being taken away, the swing dancers being taken away by the Nazis, and one of them screaming swing Heil. And he's heiling swing dancing. Lori,
oh,
and that I'm hiring stand-up comedy. I need to do stand-up comedy. The Nazis can take me away, but
yeah, you're in control of your own act, and you're in control of what you say. You know, all of us, not just you, all of us. That's it. You know,
they're not telling me that I have to do right wing pro whatever.
You're supposed to take yourself out of a situation because someone else is in it. That's to me, that's the opposite of what it is. And by the way, if that's the rules, I never would have started comedy because it was never not hostile to me. There was never not any shitty. I'm using too many negatives. You're going to say a shitty club owner should keep me out of comedy? No.
No,
I started Howard's raised by shitty club owners. They're all only now are there three cool ones. That's
right.
It. The rest of them were all bar owners from way back, and they just put up comedy to sell more booze. These aren't good people. They aren't art lovers. They're booze sellers. Okay,
they're booze sellers, and they used to own strip clubs, and then they outlawed strip clubs, and they're like, what about stand up? I think I'll just do a stand-up club.
Yeah. That's our baseline where we're coming from. So you're telling me like one club owner may have voted for Trump. Guess what? I think they all did. They all turn into, they don't like workers and they're mad about unemployment and all that stuff. I mean, I think it's maybe being a club owner puts you in that. That just turned your brain over a little bit. I don't know.
One of the reasons I don't want to own a club.
Yes. I want no part of it. I firmly believe it's not the job of female comics to make up for male comics. You know what? It's your job as the audience to come back and see us.
Yeah. Just come and see me. Don't sweat what's playing the week that I'm not there.
Yeah.
The week I'm not there has nothing to do with me.
Don't show up.
Yeah. Please don't buy a ticket to see some banana head that you profess to hate.
And honestly, I mean, you can't, there's always been asshole comics working. Okay. Mm-hmm. Do you remember that guy that had the dog and there's rumors he abused a dog, right? Winston, whatever.
Right. I worked with him. We keep forgetting that his name was Earl.
Yes.
His name was Earl, and he was statutory rape and Florida abused the dog, would cover the dog in baby powder and train the dog to come out and shake after a cocaine joke.
Oh.
It was just good writing. It was just good writing, you guys.
I do want to see that once, but not every night. But no, what I'm saying
does come up once a quarter on
this
show.
Once every 3 months, his act is re-explained to the audience.
But it's always existed. It's always existed.
Some version of Earl and Winston.
Some version of Earl has always existed in comedy. And so we're all of a sudden supposed to start taking ourselves out of it. No. You want more of us in it. All right? More of us, not less of us.
I've been working on this joke about statutory rape. Yeah. Yeah. Good stuff.
Of course. Okay.
And I mentioned Jeff Ross last night. And I said, hey, don't tell Jeff Ross. But then I thought I'd mentioned it on this podcast. But the weird thing is I was just like, I get why everyone likes a 15-year-old, especially if you're 40 or 50 years old, because you're like, look how young and bendy they are. And it's gross. But you don't act on it because you're the adult in that situation. Literally my theme of this entire podcast is you're the grown up. I'm sorry to alert you that you are the adult in this situation.
Oh, that's interesting.
Too bad.
I like that. I like where you're going. I can't wait to see it fleshed out.
Sure. Me too. Me too.
Cool.
I admit to my own creepy thought syndrome and how I didn't act up on it because I'm the grown up in that situation.
Sure.
Very disappointing.
I'll be interested to see if you keep Jeff Ross in the setup.
I won't keep that. He'll be happy to know that he's going to go into oblivion and then continue to make residuals. It's all going to be fine. It's all going to work out for him.
I know. I mean, you know, too many people owe their careers to him. And
Right. He's been super supportive. He loves that roast format, and he's given a lot of people who like a mean joke plenty of work. You do. Have you ever done any of the roast stuff?
No, I did. I did the roast of Jim Norton that they just put online, but Jeff Ross had nothing to do with it. It was Masavia produced it. And that's what got me passed at the Cellar was me at the Jim Norton roast. I mean, because Esty was in the audience. And
when was that?
Like 2004.
Oh, okay.
It's old. Geraldo's on it. Nick DiPaolo's on it. Patrice is on it.
What are those God Twitter things?
What?
What the God Twitter tweet?
Oh, Tweets of God?
It wasn't the Tweets of God. It was a different one.
Okay.
But someone who claims to be God, what comedian would you bring back to life if you could bring somebody back to life? Remember that tweet?
Yeah.
I was like, well, that's just sad. And I think I why don't you God tweeter? Why don't you just say that you're a fan of Mitch Hedberg and leave it at that?
Well, but I liked your answer, which was Heather Snow, because she didn't get the chance to, you know,
to really.
She was 20 something when she died, right?
Yeah.
And she was very funny then. And you only get funnier as you get older. And she
potential of Heather Snow was great. I thought she was such a great comic. And I wouldn't. And people who said Carlin, I was like, that guy got to die of old age in bed. That is how grownups die. Not, you know, sucking off somebody at a truck stop for money for heroin.
I need a name on that one. Please type.
I'm going to drink some soda to that. I'm going to pour one out for Carlin.
Taken before his time, not enough of a body of work.
What if he... I know his daughter, so I don't even want to speculate, you know, but I mean, what if he came back was just like, I don't want to be part of this profession anymore. You fucking hack. and just didn't do comedy.
Yeah, I don't know what to do with that.
What if, yeah, he came back, he saw all the people that said that Carlin would love them and was like, I'm out of here.
It's like he's been canonized like Christ, right?
Like but always the wrong people, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Much like Jesus. If he were to see his own followers, he'd be like, what has happened to the message? And distorted. Anyway,
Kyle, come on.
58-40.
Where are we at?
58-40.
58. This is my dream, is that I continue to be patient.
Right.
But I also do the work of this special.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I suppose in life as well. That is probably not a bad.
Not bad at all.
Oh, that'd be ideal.
Here's what I would love to do is I have things I have to do every single day, you know, like and I would like to figure out a way to look forward to them instead of wake up feeling like I have an anchor around my neck every single day of you have to work on this novel. Like I want to figure out how to turn that anchor into a necklace.
Here's a disgusting story that the word necklace has generated. I never knew what a pearl necklace was until two guys in a month told jokes about it. Wow. And then I was like, this is how you find out gross things when you're a young woman comic. Two traveling banana heads tell jokes about it. And you're like, but what is it? And then someone horribly tells you.
Yeah.
All right.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Audience supported.